Promise 35, and I'll read it for you three times. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Imagine if you were sitting in prison, but not some comfortable, modern, reasonable prison. You're sitting on cold, wet stones with rats scurrying around the floor and between your legs. The only single window in your cell is just a slit in the door that leads back into the inner hallway. The only sounds you can hear are the occasional openings and shuttings, bang, of the huge iron and wood doors of the various cells. Well, actually, sometimes you can also hear the groanings of beaten prisoners, feeble attempts to communicate by tapping along the adjoining cell walls. And of course, there's the constant water-torturing sound of the drip, drip, dripping of the ceiling, making your cell floor as wet as it is. Do you have a sense of the type of environment I'm thinking of? Well, on a particular night, though let's be honest, for you, there are no particularities between day and night, night and day, all are the same, but something seems different. It all began long after the delivery of that disgusting pot of gruel they call your evening meal. An arrival of two prisoners. You could hear the guards talking loudly. "Did you like that?" they shouted at the prisoners, laughing. "The finest flogging I ever saw," the other said. You walked to the slit in your door and watched the two and two pass, two guards and two prisoners. These new prisoners looked like somewhat regular men, their bearing upright and proud, their cloaks draped over their crooked arms. Both their backs and shoulders and upper arms were totally flayed open, the skin hanging in shreds, blood still wet and pouring down. Who are these men, you wondered. They'd clearly gotten a worse one than almost anyone you'd ever seen. Then, the screeching of the hinge of a cell door. Then, bang! The familiar sound of it slamming. As you sat back down to try to find your comfort for the night, you continued to wonder about those two men down the way. How had they so offended the authorities to get what they got? They just didn't seem to look the type. Well, then, hours passed. Something woke you. You listened for the sound. There it goes again. Singing. You are good. You are holy. You are worthy, Jesus. You are good. You are holy. You are worthy, Jesus. And as you're sitting there on the dank, disgusting floor of the cell of the prison you're scheduled to die in, listening to the sound of the singing and the strangely wonderful sound of that name, Jesus, you begin to feel the floor moving beneath you. A rumbling beginning deep, deep down in the bowels of the earth is rising up, up, up into the structure of the prison. You feel the stones beneath you starting to shake. The upper timbers of the ceiling are cracking and bowing. Suddenly, the door of your cell slams open inwardly. Instantly, you are on your feet. You were already in the hallway. It's been weeks since you've walked. But, surprising yourself, instead of turning right toward the two more doors toward the outside world, you're turning left. You must walk the three doors down and ask those men, who is Jesus? And how is he so good, holy, and worthy to merit your song? My friends, on that night from Acts 16, Paul and Silas didn't know about the mechanics of the earthquake, the jailer, their eventual deliverance. They didn't know, the way we modern readers do, that by the next day, they'd be walking out the gates of that now ruined prison. Here's what they did know. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. If I may be bold, I'm going to say it. Your circumstances today can't hold a candle to the circumstances those two apostles encountered at midnight in Philippi. They had been wrongly accused, beaten, thrown in an inner cell. Their feet were stocked. They might not live out the morrow. Yet finding themselves potentially at death's door, immobilized with nowhere to go, nothing to do, I imagine them looking at each other, smiling, nodding, and beginning their song. And this midnight worship at Philippi in prison doesn't only set off an earthly earthquake, it gives us insight into the ever-available heavenly glories of what it means to trust the power of Jesus always. It shows us that no matter what today holds, you and I can trust today's promise and see the victorious right hand of our God. It tells us that our greatest, best, first or final recourse should be worship, that there's nothing that can stop our wondrous Lord. Do you believe today's promise? Do you believe today's promise for yourself? Because on the other end of your weakest, feeblest, last-ditch try at trusting him is the Jesus who obliterated the prison at Philippi. On the other end of your whispered, unsure prayer is the man who conquered death and shattered the wall between this life and the next one. On the other side of your worship stands Jesus. Will you trust him for this day?